Welcome to the Bible Girl Podcast. I'm Jessica Robinson, and I have a great love for God's Word, journal writing, and gel pens in every color. I combine these loves into one great passion, studying God's Word.
Welcome to episode 40 of the Bible Girl Podcast. I am going to be talking to you today about a subject that is incredibly important when it comes to living our lives in the way that Christ has called us to live, and important for our own emotional and spiritual well-being. We're going to talk about forgiveness today. You know, there's a lot of things that we could say about forgiveness, and there's a lot of great sermons that have been preached on it. There's a lot of incredible passages of scripture that talk about forgiveness. But what I want to share with you today is I want to go over seven things that I have learned in the past 46 years of life about forgiveness. This is not necessarily a sermon or a Bible study, although I will reference a few passages of scripture. I really just want to talk to you today about what I've learned about forgiveness and what God has done in me as a result of that, because I think so many Christians over the course of my life, I've run across so many believers who have a very cut and dry, black and white picture of forgiveness and giving forgiveness to others, and they tend to come down very hard on the, you know, just forgive and forget and move forward, and they're just very very cut and dry about their theology of forgiveness. And I have struggled with forgiveness over my life. I am not generally a person that holds grudges for all offenses, but there have been a few people in my life who have wounded me very greatly, and it has been a long time coming. Forgiveness has been slow and steady, but a bit slow. And I want to talk to you about what I have been learning through this. And what kind of brings this on is a conversation that I had recently with a coworker, where we were talking a little bit about some of the effects of our childhood, and just kind of sharing some funny stories of some things that had happened to us and how they still affect us today. And it was a somewhat lighthearted conversation, but one of the things that came up caused me to think about a lot of other things in my childhood. And as a result, I spent the next day or two just feeling really, I don't even know the word for it. I just felt really uneasy and not at rest within myself. And it took me a day or so to realize that I was still really hurt by something that I thought was well behind me. And it was an opportunity to revisit the things that I know about forgiveness. And it kind of gave me a clearer picture of some things. And so I want to share a little bit with you, this with you today. So I have seven things. I've titled this The Truth About Forgiveness. And these are just seven things that I've learned over the course of my life about forgiveness. Before I jump into those seven things, I just want to say that the things that I'll be talking about in my own personal life, and I'm not going to go into a whole lot of detail about things, although I may share a story or two as we go, depending on how I feel as we start talking. But I'm not going to, the wounds of my past and my childhood are mostly emotional and spiritual. I attended a church that was very toxic, and so much of the things that I went through as a child in my teenage years specifically were really a very toxic kind of faith that gave me a warped picture of God and a warped view of what God wanted from me and who I was. And so a lot of those wounds are things that I've had to relearn in my 20s and my 30s so that I could have a good understanding of who God was. So while many of those things that were said and done to me as a child center around a lot of I would say emotional and spiritual type abuse, I'm not a victim of a lot of the deeper kinds of issues that so many people carry with them. And I want to say that there is healing and forgiveness at the foot of the cross, that God in His great mercy and grace toward us, sent his son to pay the price for the sins that we've committed and the sins that others have committed against us. And there is a chance for healing and forgiveness and new life in Christ. But that is not instantaneous, and that isn't always easy. There's a path to come. And so when I talk about these things today, I don't want you to think that these are easy answers. Some of these things have been hard won over time. And I think that when it comes to forgiveness, of the thousands of things that we would have to forgive others for, there are some that are just really hard. It's hard to forgive. So know that as I begin to talk, I have great compassion for those of you that are suffering from some deep, deep wounds in your past, and know that there is healing available in Christ, and that if you allow him to, he will bring you down this path of forgiveness, and he will heal those wounds and allow you to forgive and allow you to move forward. So my heart is with you, and I just want to say, as I am preparing this material, I've been praying for you, and I will continue to pray, because this is not for everyone. This is not an easy subject. So we should start with the beginning of anything and figure out what God has to say about it. And so that leads me to my first truth about forgiveness, is that, you know, forgiveness is a command from God. Forgiveness is something that we are commanded to do. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 32, it says to be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving each other, even as God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven you. We are commanded to forgive. In the Gospels, as Jesus preached, he often talked about forgiveness, and he talked about being able to accept the forgiveness of God and then give that forgiveness to others. In the next section, we're going to talk about a passage where he gives a great story about that. Forgiveness is something that matters. It's important because God has commanded us to do it. Forgiveness is not something that's a good idea. Forgiveness is no more, you know, just a gentle suggestion than the where the Bible says, you know, don't kill someone or don't speak lies about your neighbor. It's a command. We are commanded to forgive. And God knows that we need these short records. We need to be able to set people free for a whole host of reasons that we're going to cover as we continue to look at some of these truths about forgiveness. God knows what is best for us. He would not ask us to do something that he felt was not in our best interest. If he's telling us we need to forgive, then there's a reason for that, that it matters that we forgive. And so we start by understanding that it is a command. But then secondly, the second thing I've learned a lot about forgiveness is that it's a reminder of God's grace. Every time I'm willing to forgive someone else for the pain that they've caused me or the wrong that they did me, every time I'm willing to do that, it is a reminder of the grace that God has given to me. In Matthew chapter 18, we have a chapter that has quite a bit in it about forgiveness. In the earlier part of the chapter, Jesus gives he's kind of talking about tempting others to sin and how that's so dangerous. And this is where he talks about bringing the little children to me and that we should come to him like a child. And then he goes on to say, if your brother sins against you, go and talk to him about it. Because if you can work it out between the two of you, then you've gained a brother back. But if he doesn't listen, take somebody with you. And then maybe together you guys can work this out, like a third party that's kind of a buffer that can help everyone negotiate the ceasefire, so to speak, just to kind of work it out with somebody. And if that doesn't work, then bring it to the church and let the church work over it together as a community and help this relationship be restored. This is a serious process that shows to me that people living in harmony with each other, with clean slates and loving hearts toward others, is something that God takes seriously, because he's given us a way to fix it, and in a way that can be quite radical, to involve a lot of outsiders in trying to restore this person and this relationship. So After this conversation, Peter comes to Jesus and he says, you know, should I forgive my brother seven times? You know, how long, how many times? Like seven, is that good? And Jesus, it kind of blows that out of the water. He says, no, actually, Peter, it's a lot more than that. Different Bible translations translate that differently. But the idea of it is that Jesus pulls a number out that's just beyond people's expectations. He's saying, you just keep forgiving. You forgive and then you forgive. And if they do it again, you just forgive again. And he goes on to say that the kingdom of heaven could be compared to a king who wished to settle his accounts with his servants. Now, it's important to note that throughout the Gospels, specifically in Matthew, you'll see it over and over again in the book of Matthew, he talks about the kingdom of heaven and what he's doing when Jesus begins to share these with his disciples. What he's saying is the world that you were designed for, the world that I'm ushering back in, this new kingdom, it operates differently. And he's kind of, he's making a point that the way you normally do things, the way that are natural in your flesh, those kinds of things are not how we operate. We operate quite differently in the kingdom of God. And so he begins to tell the story. And the story, I'm not going to read it through. It's in Matthew 18. The exact references are in the show notes. But in the story, the king is brought, a man is brought to him who owes him 10,000, let's say dollars. I don't think it's actually dollars. It's 10,000 talents. And we're not going to get into what all that is. Let's just, for numerical sake, let's just say dollars. So the man comes to him and he owes this king $10,000 and he couldn't pay it. So the normal thing, if you couldn't pay your debt, is that you would be sold into some kind of slavery and you, your whole family would go with you. Your wife and your children would all be servants. And then the money that they sold you for would go to the king to cover your debts. So this man has been ordered, this king orders him to be sold, which is the common thing, with his wife and his children and everything that he had so that payment can be made. And the servant begs him to have patience with him, because if he does, he will pay it. He will pay it all. And the master looked at him and this king, and he had pity on him. And he forgave him the debt. Now imagine, if you will, this man has a debt larger than he could ever pay. $10,000 is a lot of money, and in the equivalent of what this amount of money was, this is something that this man could never pay. His request to the king, his plea, you know, give me some time and I'll pay it, was just desperation. The king had pity on him because he knew this man would never pay this debt. And in fact, selling this man and his wife and his children and all his possessions wasn't going to cover this debt. The king was losing money anyway. And he has pity and lets him go. But that servant goes out. And he leaves, and instead of feeling grateful and full of gratitude for the insane amount of grace he's just been given, he finds a man who owes him $100 and begins to choke him, demanding that he pay what he is owed. And the fellow servant fell down on his feet and said the same thing, "Have patience with me, and I will pay you." But the man who had been forgiven everything refused and put him in prison until he could pay the debt. Now, somebody saw this happen. Some fellow servants saw this and they were upset about it. And they went and reported to the master what had happened. And the master, this king, summoned him and said, "I forgave you all that debt because you pleaded with me. And yet you didn't have mercy on the man who pleaded the same plea with you." And so in result, in anger, this master delivered him to his jailers. And now he was in jail. That big debt he was forgiven was now his responsibility once again. And Jesus ends this parable by saying, "So also my heavenly Father will do to every one of you if you do not forgive your brother from your heart." Forgiveness is a reminder of the grace that we have been given. A long time ago, Jesus hung on a cross and paid the penalty for your sins so that you could be forgiven. He paid a price greater than you will ever pay to forgive anyone. He paid that debt so that you would have forgiveness with God and right standing before Him. So that you could be in relationship with God, Jesus paid that price. And every time you forgive someone else, it is a reminder of the forgiveness and the grace that has been given to you. Forgiveness, when we forgive someone else, it should be because of a heart that has been already forgiven of everything. Every sin that you will commit for the remainder of your life, from the moment you hear this podcast to the moment you died, has been paid for. And the opportunity to forgive someone else is a reminder to us of that grace. And a reminder that we don't forgive on our own. We forgive because we have an abundance of forgiveness. Just like we talked about several podcasts ago, where we talk about we give, we can be generous because God has given to us abundantly. So if there's abundance, we can be generous. God has abundantly forgiven you. You can be generous with your forgiveness. That doesn't always make it easy. We're going to cover some of those harder times in just a second here. But forgiveness is not just a command, but it's a reminder. It's a reminder of the grace that has been given to us. Number three, forgiveness is a cleansing to heal. There are times when I have wrestled with forgiving someone and have felt the oppressive weight of what has been done to me or what has been done to someone else. You know, sometimes we harbor bitterness and carry things in our hearts because of the way other people have been treated. They've hurt people we love and people we care about. And when I reach a place where I'm able from the depths of my heart to forgive, there is a cleansing that heals that wound. Forgiveness isn't easy. Forgiveness is actually kind of painful, but I liken it in thinking about, you know, the cleansing that comes when we forgive. I liken this to putting peroxide on a bad scrape. You know, let's say you've scraped your hand and it's got blood and it's dirty and you need to clean it out a little bit and put a little peroxide on a cotton ball and kind of tap it over the scrape. And it kind of foams up and it burns and it taking all the impurities out of the rawness of that wound and pulling it away. And it stings and it's terrible. But boy, once you get that all cleaned up and then you just spread a little Neosporin on there, which cures everything, I think. And just let that take out all those impurities. What you're left with is a chance to heal. If you don't do that, it takes longer for the scrape to scab over. It takes longer for it to harden up and do the healing process. But what you're doing is you're allowing that to heal. You clean it out so that it can heal and heal well, heal properly. Not so that you have things, you know, kind of healing up over dirt and things like that and causing infection and problems in your body. No, what you're doing is you're taking all of those impurities out and you're allowing the healing process to go on unhindered. And that is exactly what forgiveness does. Lots of people feel like they need to heal from this before they can forgive. But if you can't forgive, you're not going to heal. I promise you. There is a part of healing that will never come to you until you go through the pain of forgiving and you allow that to heal you. Forgiveness is a cleansing to heal what's broken inside of you, to heal what's been hurt, to heal that pain. And it might hurt in the moment. It might be difficult. Sometimes it's so difficult to forgive. But if you choose forgiveness, the pain of the moment is what takes care of a lifetime of pain coming after you if you don't. Forgiveness is also a ticket to freedom. This is one of the things that I was struck by several years ago. Have you ever met someone that's really carrying a heavy load of bitterness over something that happened, say, 20 or 30 years ago? And you can see it in their face. You can hear it in the words they say. Their life stopped the day that happened. And because they can't forgive, they're forever carrying the chains of that offense. And they're forever chained to the person who offended them. And it's a weight and a heaviness that falls upon them, and you can just tell. You can see it. You can see it right in front of you. I have seen it several times in my life. So obviously, I have met people, and my first thought as they began to talk and as I watched their face, the first thing I thought was, boy, they're carrying a heavy load of bitterness somewhere. Somebody's done them wrong. You can tell, because it's a weight and it's a chain that ties you up. But if you're willing to forgive, it's a ticket to freedom. It separates you from the offense. It separates you from the person who offended you, and it gives you a chance to move past them. But if you don't forgive, you're forever chained to them. The only ticket to freedom away from something that has hurt you is forgiveness. That's the only way forward. Forever, you will be stuck where the offense occurred. If it happened in 1973 on March the 3rd, you're going to be living that day, that March 3rd, 1973, for the rest of your life until you forgive. You're going to carry it around. It's chained to you. And forgiveness is your only ticket to freedom. Forgiveness is also a chance to restore. And I want you to notice that word chance, because I use that word very, very deliberately, because forgiveness and restoration are not the same thing. And restoration is not necessarily commanded in Scripture. Forgiveness is. We are commanded to forgive, but nowhere are you commanded to restore every single relationship. Do I believe that God can restore them? Yes. Do I believe that God can restore people who have done horrible things and turn them into amazing believers with great faith who have fruitful Christian lives? Yes, I believe that wholeheartedly. But I believe that there are plenty of relationships that you personally do not need to restore back into your life. This is your permission to choose who you restore. Forgiveness is a chance to restore a relationship, and it can be a very welcome thing. It can be a chance to work out a problem in a relationship and forgive each other and move forward together. But sometimes there are people that hurt us that don't deserve to be allowed back into our lives. And that could be for a whole host of reasons. They could still be toxic. Forgiving someone who has damaged you greatly and allowing them back into your life and when they have made no attempt to change or to acknowledge their wrongdoing, that would be foolish on your part. You would want to protect yourself from the people that would do you harm in such a way. Every relationship doesn't have to be restored. There are plenty of people that hurt you and were happy doing so. Real evil exists in this world, and there are people who are evil. And we do not need to restore those relationships. That's God's job, to restore them to Him first. And then as He guides that person, that relationship may be restored. But that is not your responsibility to restore your relationship with that person before they have had a chance to restore their relationship with God and change their behaviors. Sometimes forgiveness does come with restoration does come with forgiveness. Sometimes the offense is minor enough that you guys can work it out. Other times it's major, but yet the Spirit of God is working, and that person is changing their heart, and they're changing their behavior, and they're becoming a new creation in Christ. And so there is an opportunity for restoration, but restoration is not the same as forgiveness. You don't get both in a combo deal every time. Restoration is quite different. Restoration needs to see change. Restoration needs to be visible over time. Restoration needs to be proven. That person needs to prove themselves in some way. You can forgive them, but be very careful who you let back into your life when they've hurt you. Some things require a lot of time and a lot of God's grace and mercy in both of your lives before the restoration comes. And that leads me to the sixth thing that I've learned about forgiveness, and it is probably one of the most important things I've learned, and that is that forgiveness is a process over time. I would like to say that we could just look at an event or a situation or a person, and we could just forgive. We could just say, okay, I am going to set this aside. I realize that I was wronged, but I'm going to set aside my right to be bitter and my right to hold on to this offense, and I'm going to forgive because of all that Christ has done to me. I'm going to forgive. And it never, ever come back up again. And sometimes there are things like that. God can miraculously work in your heart and in the hearts of others, and you can move forward, and that's great. But a lot of times, in fact, in my life, the majority of the time, I have to forgive that same thing later. Maybe 6 months later, maybe several years later. This was in my story at the very beginning of this podcast. That's kind of what happened here. This was something that happened to me as a teenager, something that happened with one of my youth leaders in my church who, with the best of intentions, he was not an evil person, with the best of intentions, did some things that really wounded me. And I went through a big period of forgiveness and allowing the Holy Spirit to really work in my heart in my early 20s. And I don't think I've thought of this person or that particular offense in a long, long time. A long time, probably 20 years at least. But when it came up just a few weeks ago in that conversation, and I had that day or two where I was just feeling a little unsettled, I realized that I was starting to get angry again. That as I looked at my 15-year-old self, I wanted someone to step up and defend her. I wanted someone to speak for her. And I was angry that no one had. I was angry that I had ever been put in that position, and I was angry that once I was there, no one rescued me. And so when I realized what the cause of all of this was, I had to just stop. I was in the middle of work. I was doing some things, and I just kind of got up, and I work for a church. I went out in the sanctuary there, and I just sat down for a few minutes, and I just told God, look, I think I'm kind of getting bitter about this again. And boy, it was so long ago that I don't want to go down this path again, you know? And I just forgave. I forgave again. I forgave the people that I thought should have protected me. I forgave the youth leader who put me in that situation. I forgave God. And that's always the elephant in the room when it comes to forgiveness. I have learned over the years it's very easy to subtly blame God for allowing something in your life that you really wished you hadn't had to handle. So I forgave God, which is a silly thing, but it's just an opportunity to say, I trust you. I trust that you allow this. I'm not going to hold this bitterness here. I know you had a purpose. And so I went through that whole thing, and the angst that was in me, this unsettledness, settled down. And it was a reminder to me that, yes, we forgive, and we can mean it greatly in the moment, but the wounds of our past, they stick with us. They hang around. And you can live years and never think of them, and they'll come up again. And sometimes they come up in such a way that you have to just say, you know what? I need to state again that I have forgiven those things, that I'm not going to carry them with me. I'm not going to let them fester in my spirit or my soul, because I've already forgiven those, and I'm moving on, and they are not going to be chains that keep me locked up. And so we forgive again. Sometimes the wounds are so deep that you forgive every day. Every time the person comes to mind, or every time the situation comes to mind, you just run through that process of forgiveness again. You take them to the foot of the cross in your mind, and you say, This is the offense that was done to me, and God, I forgive them because of the great, great, great abundance of mercy and grace you have given to me. I forgive them. And you might need to do that every day. It is a process. Forgiveness isn't a one and done situation for many offenses. It's just a process. Each time it comes up, you take it to the cross. You pour over it the grace and mercy of God to forgive and to restore you, and you forgive. The seventh thing that I've learned about forgiveness, the truth that is a relatively new truth to me. This is probably some of these things I've been learning over time. This last one is something that's kind of new. Forgiveness is a gift. Forgiveness is a gift to treasure. When these things come back up, when this situation came back up in my mind after this conversation, I went through that process. I sat in that sanctuary and I kind of went through that process. And I said that a lot of my angst and unsettledness was gone. And that is very true. But what took its place was an overwhelming gratitude for where God has taken me since then. See, I was angry. I was getting angry looking back at my 15-year-old self and thinking, I had this wrong idea in my head, you know, like, if all of these things hadn't happened to you, where would you be now? Thinking to myself that maybe those things kept me from something. And as I began to forgive and God's peace began to come back into my heart, and I began to look at that, I began to see that thing was something that drew me closer to God. In fact, that specific incident right there is probably the first time in my life when I remember taking something to God and telling him that he was the only one that could fix this. I'm a pretty capable person. That's a prayer that I don't often pray. I always think I have the answer. It was the first time I humbled myself before God in such a way with understanding that I was powerless and only God could come through. I learned to take the things in my life that are too big for me to handle, and I learned to take them to God. And that's where I learned them, through that circumstance. I begin to realize that this act of forgiving puts everything in such a perspective. It's a gift. Forgiveness is a gift. It's a gift that we've been given. It's a gift that we get to give each other. But more than that, it's a gift that works inside of us. It helps us. It teaches us to be grateful. It helps us to see life through God's perspective. It helps us to look at where God has taken us from. Look what God got me through. And look where I am now. That ability to forgive is a gift. But most importantly, that perspective that changes is a precious gift. My mom would tell you, everything that we deal with in life comes down to our perspective. Whether we deal with it correctly or not will depend on the perspective that we have. And I believe that's very true. I think that oftentimes you see two people go through the same terrible circumstances, and yet one weathers it like a champ and goes on to leverage that for something great in the kingdom of God, and the other person ends up devastated and never recovers. And I do believe that it has to do with our perspective. And I think forgiveness is one of those things that puts our perspective in the right path. It helps us to see things clearly, because unforgiveness, bitterness, clouds our heads, it clouds our minds. It makes it hard for us to see what God is doing in the midst of those circumstances. So in the last 46 years of life, I've learned that forgiveness is a command from God and yet a reminder of grace. It's a cleansing to heal, a ticket to freedom, a chance to restore, a process over time, and a gift to treasure. If you have something in your heart right now that you've been harboring in a season of time that you've been holding on to instead of forgiving and letting go, I encourage you to take a few moments and meditate on what God might be doing in your life. and how he might be wanting to change your perspective and heal you through this act of forgiveness. And I'll be praying that God can speak to you and that God continues to work in your life as you forgive out of the abundance of forgiveness that God has given to you. Just a quick reminder, make sure you've signed up for my newsletter. I'll be doing a special post next week. Next week, there will not be a podcast. We will be doing a special little talk through the newsletter. I'll be sharing a little article about the scripture writing. We'll have April's scripture writing list that will come out a little early, and we'll be doing some stuff on a contest for April. So if you don't get my newsletter, you want to make sure you go to my podcast page, which is biblegirl.podbean.com, and on the right hand side you can sign up for the newsletter. Make sure you're signed up for that so you get next week's newsletter, which will have all sorts of kind of fun things for you. So until we come back again, I hope you have a great time in God's Word and that God gives you a blessed Easter season. Visit my blog at BibleGirlPodcast.com, where you can email me, find links to my social media sites, and download show notes and printables. I love to hear from my listeners. Thanks for joining me today. Drop by again for another episode of Bible Girl.